Hi there.
We are friends.
And we're about to have a conversation.
Please don't take us too seriously.
All right then.
Life is crazy and the least we can do is talk about it. Conversations with Friends. Only on The Podcaster.
Let's start with some positive affirmations, shall we? I'm beautiful. Are you beautiful?
I am beautiful, but the fact that you giggled just signifies how uncomfortable you are with the word affirmations.
I really am. At least 11-year-old Nidra would agree with you, but now that I'm older and wiser, I love affirmations. That's not true.
You know, I don't see you waking up in the morning and like looking at the mirror and giving yourself affirmations. That doesn't seem like a Nidra thing to do. And it's not an Ahalya thing to do either.
Yeah, not at all. But have you ever thought about how many sayings there are about beauty? Like, there's beauty in the eyes of the beholder. Beauty is skin deep. There's beauty is power. But what really is beauty? And how do we define it now versus, let's say, when we were younger? We're going to talk about that a little bit and tap into our insecurities, because insecurities are fun.
Yeah, of course they're fun. And I think that's what we do in, you know, tiny doses on this series anyway. Welcome to Conversations with Friends, everybody. And today's conversation is the constantly evolving world of beauty standard. And, you know, it's actually been something that Neeru has been wanting to talk about for quite a while, which I'm quite keen on understanding why that is. But I thought, you know, just before we begin, when you were growing up versus now, and I think this will perfectly pinpoint the flaky characteristic of beauty standards. But when you were growing up, who was the beauty standard, like the it girl that everybody wanted to look like? Every girl wanted to look like, let's say.
I think Jennifer Aniston, dude, because Friends had just come out. This was 1994, and I was 4 years old, too young to understand, obviously. But then she, well into, you know, the 2000s, she continued to be the it girl because, I mean, she is a very attractive woman and everybody wanted to look like her or be Rachel or get the Rachel do. So it was very much, I think also Alicia Silverstone to some extent. Do you remember the girl next door? Yeah. That was a whole phase. Who, what about you?
I think for me, it was a lot of Bollywood actresses growing up. Madhuri Dixit, and, you know, then I suddenly saw the rise of size zero because I was alive for when Kareena Kapoor lost all that weight and became a size zero, and then everyone wanted to be a size zero. And now everyone wants to be a Kardashian. So, you know, that's just how the beauty standards have evolved.
Do you remember the first time, you know, this concept of beauty really started having an impact on how you view yourself?
You know, it's quite interesting that you ask this question because I feel like it's just been programmed into me for some weird reason. And I'm trying to think of one distinct memory. And if I had to choose, it would probably be when I was in the fifth or sixth standard in school. At that time, I was like, I wanted, you know, the side bangs that... Yeah, with a ponytail. That was the look I was going for. But obviously, I didn't get the haircut. I decided that that wasn't going to be the route I take. Instead, I'm just going to take like a tuft of hair from one side of my head and pull it across my forehead to the other side. And so it was like, imagine you do like an entire ponytail, right? Like slick all of your hair back. And then you take just one little tuft of hair from one side of your head and fold it across your forehead. So it's basically just like a strand of hair pasted onto your forehead from one side to the other. Wow. And I decided that those were the bangs. And I was honestly loving it. And it was one of those moments where I go to school and everyone was looking at me. And I was like, oh my God, I'm getting all of the looks, you guys. Until I realized that people were looking at me because they were like, what the hell has she done with her hair? She looks so stupid. And I think that was the first time I associate, you know, beauty standards with a lot of self-consciousness. And I think that was the first time that I actually felt self-conscious about the way that I look and feel. And obviously it came from a very good place. And looking back, I know I look like a dweeb, but I don't know. Something about that moment still makes me feel sometimes, you know, extremely. I'm like, oh my God, am I looking okay? I don't know.
Well, if I had known a fifth grade Ahalya, I would have totally become your friend. I would have followed you into that trend.
You know what? You're the hype girl we all need.
I feel like I've also done this at some point. But, you know, it's funny because I remember feeling very aware of my body and things on my body when I was 11, probably. Mm-hmm. And I think I had a decent start with my self-perception. You know, I always thought I would grow to become probably some ideal beauty type I saw on TV. But aww, one thing that I do remember wanting growing up was a luscious head of straight hair, right? Straight being the operative word. It's so weird now because I love a wavy look now. Mm-hmm. But back then, this was such a beauty like goal to have straight hair. I think we've spoken about this on another episode as well, actually. But I was obsessed and I would brush out my hair after washing my head. I think I heard somewhere that 100 strokes of hair brushing would give one the desired effect of straight hair. And I went to the extent of I once laid my hair out on a towel and ironed it with a clothing iron. And I lived to tell the tale. Yes. It was just nuts. But that really was the only thing I felt the lack of. It wasn't until I was older, maybe 17 or 18, when I really started to notice the defects, quote unquote, in my body. And it only became like apparent to me because I started paying more attention naturally to people, right? To male and female bodies and what one would typically find to be an attractive body type of face. So I think that's when I really became conscious of the fact that bodies meant something.
Okay, first of all, we did not speak about this on any podcast because if we had, I would have remembered that you ironed your hair on an ironing board. But I think the whole aspect of, you know, not feeling comfortable in your own skin is something that many of us can resonate with. Again, just going back to school. And I think after the first moment that you feel self-conscious, there are just, it's like opening the floodgates, right? And then it's just a slew of moments where you don't feel good enough or beautiful enough, which again is so strange because I don't think it's something we're born with, right? Like you were talking about, you didn't come into this world feeling like you weren't beautiful. It's something that's like programmed into us, which I find very interesting because if it is programmed, like if you can, you know, develop the idea that you're not good looking, you can also develop the idea that you are. So why does the world constantly tell us that we are not?
And whose fault is it?
But how would you kind of define a beauty standard? Like, do you think there is a definition? Just because, like we discussed, you know, it just keeps changing.
You know, I am such a big believer in the natural course of things. I think that everything has happened, you know, including body image issues, celebrity culture, all of it has happened through some natural progression. Now we call it an ideal body type, but what are we naturally attracted to? It has to have come from somewhere. And that's how I see it. You know, and we all have certain types, right? But predominantly, what were people attracted to back in the day? That has changed over time. So I don't really think it's easy to define a beauty standard because I really do believe everyone is attracted to a different type naturally. It just, I think, depends on who's in power at what point in time.
I think I'm inclined to agree with that because also that brings in the idea of whatever is like the majority. But also sometimes it's not the majority. Like you're saying, it's just someone who's in power and gets to sort of dictate how the trend goes. Because, of course, we're all attracted to different shapes and sizes. And it's like a primal thing that comes from within, right? Yeah. But I think, you know, with the media and then there's social media and, of course, celebrity culture, like you mentioned, again, we're just programmed to believe that this is what is desirable. And I think in today's day and age, the lengths that people go to sort of fit into those beauty standards, it's quite crazy. And I think, you know what, for people with a lot of commitment issues in other places, sure, commit yourself to beauty standards when there's really, that's not a long-lasting relationship because it's going to change before you know it.
100%, you're so right. And it's such a difficult thing to navigate through, you know, these expectations. The feeling of falling short is never a nice thing. Everyone wants to feel attractive or be the type that somebody they like would find attractive. But is just, it's a difficult world, man. Like, life's tough. You just got to deal with it.
Sorry. I'm going to get this printed on a t-shirt for you because this is all she's been saying for the past 3 months, everybody.
It's true. And I think on pretty much every episode. But yeah. I think it's difficult to please everyone. And I think that's really the acceptance that we all need. Of course, beauty is skin deep and you should love the way you look and all of that. But also just accept the fact that everyone is not for everyone. And that's okay.
Yeah. And most importantly, you have to be for yourself, because if that doesn't happen, and it sounds very preachy, of course, but it's not like Neeru and I have reached the ultimate stage
not
of
at
acceptance.
All. Yeah, not at all.
At all. Yeah. What is the strangest thing you've done recently to try to feel beautiful?
Well, that's also the reason why I desperately wanted to have this conversation. So a couple of my friends suggested that I use a foot peeling mask. Okay. This was because I asked, by the way, not because my feet are hideous and monstrous and they saw cracks and went, oh, you know what you need? No, I asked for it. So I bought it. And it's two masks that you wear like socks on your feet, and it's like sea kelp and thyme and something else or whatever. So you leave them on for 120 minutes, take them off, wash your feet.
2 hours? That sounds so gross.
2 hours. It sounds gross, and it also stings, by the way, which I think, I mean, there should be some regulations around that, but I don't know. You take them off, you wash your feet, etc., etc., and over the course of the next 8 to 10 days, the skin on your feet, it starts peeling to reveal fresh new skin underneath. It's quite wild, and it's also very inconvenient because, you know, you're shedding everywhere you go. There's just skin coming off of your feet. My feet were soft for like 2 days after this whole process, but now we're back to like troll feet, basically. So that's my story, and that's why I will never use a beauty product advertised to me by friends again.
I honestly thought that you might do it again just because that sounds like your feet turned into snakes and you love snakes.
I do love snakes, but I don't like shedding myself. Personally, I'm not a fan of the shedding.
You gotta live and let live, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you think that that should have come with, you know, your product should have come with some kind of disclaimer.
It should.
Magal, the things I have in store for you at the end of this podcast.
Ooh, I can't wait. But also that raises an interesting point about, firstly, please, I think you should try this foot mask out. Just once.
If we do it together and you promise we can do it together with a glass of wine, I'll do it.
I think if I do it again, my feet might just come off my like legs. I don't know if it's safe necessarily, but I'll do it if there's wine involved, I guess. Yeah. But also it's interesting, right? Because even with like the extremes one would go to, mm-hmm. to retain their bodies or postpone aging, mm-hmm. even with the whole Ozempic fad, right?
That was crazy. That was actually crazy. And the fact that all of these massive celebrities with such intense influence were like going out there and talking about diabetes medication as if it is, you know, just a weight loss drug, which it eventually became. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, that was just, you know, we've done an explainers episode, explainers for anyone who hasn't listened to it, go listen to it. It's a fantastic series by our network, The Podcaster, but we've done an entire episode breaking it down, and it is absolutely wild. But sorry, yeah.
No, it is wild. And this is where I check out and say, you know, thank you for having me, beauty industry. I'll just take a pair of tweezers, maybe like a face mask, a good moisturizer, maybe like some lipstick, and I'm out. You know, I don't want anything beyond that.
Honestly, fun fact, Neeru threads really, really well. I once saw her in the studio threading herself, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was amazed by your skills. But no, it's very true. And that's, you know, I think where you're getting at is also just the contradictory nature of the beauty standard and the beauty market. I mean, it says something that it's one of the most valuable and prosperous markets in the world today. But at the same time, it has a lot of these celebrities who are, you know, preaching one thing and living completely separate lives. And I think that kind of disconnect, you know, because you see it, right? Like Kim Kardashian, and I think she acknowledged this herself. She was like, earlier back in the day, I would like, you know, advertise like diet powder, and then I just go ahead and eat like In-N-Out for dinner. And it's just so weird because you're constantly telling people to like live healthy and take care of yourself, but you're not doing that at all. But you've convinced them that the reason that you look this good is because you're practicing what you preach.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason a lot of people have actually checked out and are saying no to beauty standards, because they can't be trusted, just like celebrities.
Yeah, because on its own, right, I don't think you can really blame them, because the general population that idolizes these celebrities have helped them get to this place of like power. But yeah. Do I think when you get to that place of celebrity, you have a responsibility? Absolutely. And that's not to say completely change who you are, but you do have a responsibility to advertise the right things, to be real, to be authentic, and to not put yourself in a place that is unattainable or unachievable, because then the people that idolize you, I mean, it's natural, they will tend to follow you, and that's a whole other, like, you don't want to go down that path.
You know, there is Trinetra Haldar Gumaraju. I don't know if you saw her in season 2 of Made in Heaven. You know, she's an actress from India, and she's a transgender activist, right? And she's very, very well known for all of her activism and her, you know, speech online. And I think she made a very good point. You know, recently Rajkumar Rao came under fire, again, an Indian actor came under fire for getting some kind of chin surgery, jaw surgery, and not admitting that he had done it. Mm-hmm. And she came out to talk about, because, you know, as a trans person herself, she's had to undergo so many different surgeries and a lot of medical procedures, right? Because she made a post on Instagram talking about it, and talking about how important it is for celebrities and people who have public profiles, right, and who have an influence, to just admit when they do something, because it really impacts people's own perception of themselves when everyone is, it's almost like gaslighting. It's like, hey, I look this good, but I didn't do anything to myself to look this way. And then the person on the other side of the screen is just sitting there like, why am I not getting these results? Why am I not looking like this? And I think it was really brave of her actually to, you know, stand up and talk about how it's not fair to troll people, obviously, for the way that they look and the choices that they make. Like, if someone chooses to get plastic surgery and they've admitted it, you don't really get to say, why you get plastic surgery? Like, that's just bad. Like, whatever. To each their own. Yeah. But if you do get it and you're trying to pass it off as natural, there's a little bit of a problem there.
Yeah, that is a problem. You're also misleading people so much. I mean, I remember being quite influenced by the modeling industry. So I'm like 5'1", 5'2", if I'm stretching enough or whatever.
Yeah.
And height has been given so much importance. It's also,
you mean if you're one of the Incredibles characters?
Yes, that's right. When I turn into superhero Neerja, yeah, I'm 5'2", like by an inch. But it's also a thing people are so quick to point out or make jokes about. It's such a visual, a visceral thing. And look, I can sit here and say I'm fine with it. Any lack I felt in inches growing up, I made up for in personality and all of that. But if I had, imagine, Alia, just imagine if I had access to information, if I were privy to this commercial overload, you know, where there's a product for everything.
Yeah.
I can't say for sure that I wouldn't have fallen into a trap. You know, I saw an ad on Instagram the other day for some pill that apparently enhances your growth, that literally stretches you out by 2 to 3 inches.
BS on that.
It's such BS. And as an adult, and there are people that buy it, I'm sure. Now, I know there's no way in hell I'm putting whatever that is in my body. And that actually raises a few questions about the kinds of products you get. And you were talking about some fun game that you had for me, which I'm truly scared to play, because I think some of the things that I'm going to find out are real are going to change the way I view the world.
I mean, if someone takes that pill, honey, I enlarged the kids. But yeah.
Life is crazy, and the least we can do is talk about it. Conversations with Friends, only on The Podcaster.
This is a fun game, but you know what? Because we started the episode with affirmations, right? I've got a good twist for you, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a couple of beauty products, right? Some of them have existed, and some of them have not existed. You've got to guess whether it's a product that has existed or not. right? If you get the answer right, amazing. If you get the answer wrong, you have to give yourself a positive affirmation.
You just knew that would be the way to get me, didn't you?
Yeah. You're just going to be like on your competitive best now. And you're going to be like, I need to get every answer right because I don't want to say nice things to myself.
Yeah. My punishment is being kind to me.
I mean, that's honestly the cheesiest thing I've ever done. But okay. So this is not a product. It's more a practice. So there might be beauty practices or products. Okay. Yeah. The first one is this. Back in the Middle Ages, people would often sit down and drain themselves of blood so that they could look paler.
Ooh. I feel like I've read somewhere that people back in the day used to drink blood to look more youthful.
Hmm.
So did you kind of read that and do a spin-off? Okay, it's true.
Yeah, it's actually true. People would, you know, like you donate blood now for a really good cause.
Yeah.
People back then would just drain themselves of blood. And, you know, the origin for this is, of course, fair skin and all of that. But, you know, more importantly, apparently women of a certain class in society wouldn't go outside to work, right? And so therefore they would look paler and therefore be considered more beautiful. So to be considered more beautiful, yeah, I know it's far-fetched, but that is sort of the convoluted reason people would drain themselves of blood.
Wow, that's a big risk to take. But I guess blood was a big thing back in the day for beauty.
Yeah, very, very gross. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I got it right. I don't have to be nice to myself.
Okay, fine. Okay, here's another practice, okay? So in ancient India, there was often a beauty practice where both men and women, in order to look more youthful, right, would lie down under a cow's udder and rub the udder on their faces because it's said to release oils that are very, very good for the skin.
I swear to God, if this is something you made up, you have a very twisted brain. Imagine if you put so much effort into this convoluted practice. I'm going to say it's true because there's no way that came out of your head. Oh my God,
hey,
did you make it up?
Say something nice to yourself.
Oh my God. You
beautiful thing, Niru.
Let me Google some positive affirmations. Okay, positive affirmations. I love the way I smell on any given day.
You know what? That is so true. She smells like a field of poppies. Just very pleasant all the time.
But also, it's product. So
I mean, that's okay.
It's okay.
That's completely fine.
That's fine.
Okay.
I take care of myself.
Okay. Here's another crazy thing that existed. So we've had Ozempic, okay? We've had diet powders, diet teas, smoothies, diet pills, of course. And one pill that existed was actually that contained tapeworms, right? And people would ingest this and it would help them lose weight. That's why they would consume this pill. Did it exist or not?
Tapeworms. How do tapeworms help you lose weight? Don't they just kind of coil themselves around your intestines?
Oh my God, tapeworms are so gross now that I think about it.
Okay, no, it's not true.
It's false? You're saying it didn't exist?
Yeah.
Okay. Say something nice to yourself again.
Oh my gosh, this is turning out to be my worst nightmare. It doesn't just have to be about the way I look, right? Or because this is a beauty standards episode, does it only
have to... I mean, play the game, man.
Yeah. Okay, I think I have pretty decent skin.
You do. You know what? I'm here to affirm your affirmations.
Yeah. Well, that's the sweetest job in the world.
It really is. Pay me. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Interestingly enough, this did exist. And apparently tapeworms were a big thing for weight loss. Okay. So people would, of course, there were these pills that were manufactured. But there's also a practice where people would just ingest tapeworms in order to lose weight. Because they do. It's basically parasitic, right?
Yeah.
They make you lose a lot of weight. This is back in the Victorian era. And I want to say this ad, you know, that came out. Trigger warning. I'm serious. Eat, 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 and always stay thin. fat, the enemy that is shortening your life, banished. How? With sanitized tapeworms, jar-packed. Friends for a fair form. Easy to swallow. No ill effects. Which, that is a lie. You're not telling me that a parasitic worm in your body does not have any ill effects.
That is so wild. I'm starting to wonder if we're actually in a better place now than we were back in the day.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know. Okay, this is the last one. And let's see if you get this right or not. Okay?
Okay.
So you know how we have lash extensions now?
Mm-hmm.
You think we started that trend? No, 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 no. This trend started way back when, and the roots of it, no pun intended, is where they would take lashes or, like, cut hair to form lashes and actually sew them into the eyelid.
No, I don't know. That's false.
You're like, please don't be true because that's god awful.
Yeah. It's false, right? Please tell me it's false. It's true?
Yep.
It's... Oh, it's my God.
True. You have to say something nice about yourself again.
I have the perfect thing to say about myself. I have great eyelashes.
You do. I was really hoping you were going to say that. I was like, when is she going to compliment her eyelashes that are so long?
I love my eyelashes. They are not sewed on, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly disgusting, but this is back in 1899. It's basically, there was a specialist, right, in double quotes, and this is all from Business Insider, by the way. A specialist would sew hair onto the eyelids with, and I quote, a few skillful touches.
I don't know. I don't even know what to say about that. I think it's the, you know, the colonial equivalent of Botox or something. I don't know. It's just nuts. It's impossible that this, no.
Man, it's honestly, it's just painful. It makes my skin crawl. And as someone who quite likes her own eyelashes also, like I quite like mine. I'm like, it's really not worth it, guys. Mascara does exist. And now, luckily, eyelash extensions do exist. But on that note, we've completed the game successfully for me because you had to affirm yourself a lot.
Yeah, I know. Speed round. Give yourself 3 positive affirmations. Go.
Oh, my God.
How does it feel?
Okay. I got it. Yeah, I like my eyelashes. I quite like my profile sometimes, my side profile, when it's at a very particular angle. And I like the strength in my thighs. They're strong thighs.
Okay. They're body-bearing thighs.
They're body-bearing thighs. I mean, there's a lot of body to bear on these thighs. So.
Beautiful. You are beautiful. Am I beautiful? I'm beautiful.
You are beautiful. I'm starting to feel like a Dove ad, and at this point, I think we should wrap it up.
Should we just?
This has been a Conversations with Friends on the Podcaster, powered by Timber Media.